All right, GM, GM, everyone. GM. I guess just one thing to mention before we get started with the questions. It might be worth noting what the Lifinity Flares have been up to. So, about a month ago, we voted to switch from using the buyback funds for purely for tensor bids, and switch from that to using only 1,000 SOL for the bid and everything else for buybacks. So at that time, there was about 2,000.
2,500, I think. 2,500 SOL in the
Buyback bid. So yeah, people were kind of frustrated with there being a ton of, or just like a ginormous bid that was not getting sold into that much. Actually, like
before that, there was a lot of selling, so it was working really well.
in that, we get a better price by buying back flares when people sell into the bid rather than us buying from the floor. But yeah, the demand to sell had slowed quite a bit. So yeah, we've switched to performing buybacks once again. This is how it was from the start, actually. So that's cool. We still have the bid at about 1,000 SOL, but it's quite below the floor price now because we've been doing buybacks, which have raised the price quite significantly. If I remember correctly, the price was at around 6 or 7 SOL when we made this change, and right now the floor is at 9.35. So it went up a lot. The bid will be moved up once we add this month's revenue, and the buybacks will continue. So yeah, that's been cool. Lifinity Flares were somewhere around a top 10 collection. They're about 10th place in terms of market cap, and right now they are 8th place or 7th place,
Depending on the photo finish PFP.
collection, which seems to move around quite a bit at a very high frequency. But yeah, we've been as high as sixth place a couple days ago, I think. So yeah, that's been cool to see. All right, well,
I guess we will move on to the questions now.
so first question we have from Ipromino. He asks, can you please tell us more about Eclipse, whether we'll need to raise additional funds to market make for the Ethereum market, and what's the plan to acquire volume when there's no DEX aggregator like Jupiter? Good questions. Yeah, so Eclipse, we've been talking with them for a few months now. I think actually even from last year. And their launch of the mainnet is near. We don't know when exactly that will be though. So you'll have to ask them about the timing of their launch. But we'll probably launch soon after. Although I think that'll be dependent on the launch of other DEXs on Eclipse, because as you are probably familiar, if you've been a part of Lifinity for a while now, a lot of our volume comes from arbitrage. Actually, that's most of our volume, about 70%. So it's really valuable for us that other DEXs have liquidity that our liquidity can arbitrage against. So we'll be like waiting to see how liquidity on other DEXs on Eclipse will look like. And yeah, look to launch at the appropriate time. Will we need to raise additional funds? Probably not, because we still have a lot of idle funds.
And we can expect that the volume
On Eclipse is not going to be super
high
high.
right from the start. It's probably going to take time for that to
Gain adoption and people to start using it a lot. My guess would be that we gradually ramp up liquidity over time alongside volume as it gradually increases. But yeah, for right now, I don't think we will need to raise any additional funds. Then what's our plan to acquire volume since there's no aggregator? Yeah, so regarding this, my guess is that an aggregator will pop up quite quickly because like especially after Jupiter, people have seen like how valuable an aggregator can be. And if you start an aggregator, you can keep adding services to that aggregator, where you just make it like the central place where a user wants to trade or do anything trade related, whether that's like DCAing or not just using spot markets, but perp markets as well. So I think it'll take not much time for an aggregator to pop up, and that'll be good for us for sure. Until then, I think people will be in like this state where they have to check various DEXs to see where the best liquidity is, where they can get the best price. And Liffinity will be one of the locations that they check. Of course, not everyone will be like so price sensitive that they'll want to check every DEX, and some people will just use whatever they're familiar with and is convenient for them. So we can do like some basic marketing, but because this won't be a long-term important thing strategically until the once an aggregator takes over, that will not be that relevant. So we're not going to put like a ton of effort into trying to get people to trade on our DEX for the short time before there is an aggregator. And another thing is that, like, again, most of our volume is from arbitrage. So I think more important than getting retail to trade on our DEX directly is to make sure that there are arbitragers who are integrated with our DEX and arbitrage between our DEX and other DEXs. Yeah, so I think that's basically how we're thinking about Eclipse right now. Number two, your question was, do we have a roadmap for Eclipse and when mainnet? So again, mainnet, you'll have to ask Eclipse, but I think it's pretty soon. Do you have a roadmap? I mean, the roadmap is basically just launch our DEX and add liquidity to it and adjust the liquidity as needed, same as we do for Liffinity's DEX on Solana. So yeah, nothing like super different or special. All right, number three. Now that we have LiffSol, what do you have in mind to differ it from other LSTs under Sanctum? Yeah, so we created LiffSol not because we had some grand strategy for like how to drive adoption for our LST, but like one reason is it's a easy way to get extra stake to the validator. Another is just to have it in our back pocket in case we come up with a way to utilize it that'll really help Liffinity. Right now, they're like the main utility that we get from having stake on our validator is that it helps us with stake weighted quality of service, SWQOS, which helps us land our transactions more reliably, which is great for our users. So that's important, especially for SandGlass, because users will be using SandGlass directly in the UI much more compared to Liffinity. Most trades on Liffinity occur. They happen, or yeah, it's mostly bots, or the trades come through Jupiter, And so, like, we can benefit from Jupiter's stake that they have to their validator. So yeah, it's especially going to be useful for Sandglass in that regard. But yeah, we don't have any like plan to like give some great rewards for Lifsoll, because like the competition is very difficult. Like for one, we're not putting like a ton of our effort into optimizing our validator. Like that's not our main thing, right? Like that's not where we want to be focusing our energy to eke out a few more percentage points of APY on our stake. And the competition is just like very fierce among the LSTs, and it's very difficult to differentiate yourself. I think most stakers just care about the APY. So they'll choose the like some combination of the highest APY plus what they perceive to be trustworthy. But when you have like Jupiter and shoot, I'm gonna get it wrong. Was it Helios? Mertz company. I feel like I got that wrong. It's not helium, but is it Helios? No, I don't think it is. Shoot. Anyways, like Mertz company, like they have their HSOL and there's JupSOL, which they give all the rewards to the stakers. And then in Jupiter's case, like they add extra rewards on top of that from their 100K of SOL that they staked. And they're passing on the rewards from that SOL to the stakers as well. So like there's just no way we can compete with them on a APY basis. And we also can't compete with them on like a trust basis, just because like they're so much more well known than we are. So yeah, I don't think there's really much rewards to be reaped for us from putting effort into trying to like differentiate Lifsoll and getting more people to stake with us. So yeah, for right now it's just something we have in our back pocket. If something does come up in the future, it's there and we can quickly pivot it. We don't have to go through the launch process because we already have. And yeah, and I guess just one final point, like it was good marketing to have Lifsoll and have Sanctum tweet about us. So yeah. All right, let me take a sip. As you might be able to tell, I'm still kind of sick. But yeah. All right, anyways. Question number four. Are we going to start the Lifinity X Lifinity buyback soon? As I believe we're going for the 50-50 split between buyback and liquidity enhancement. Yeah, so maybe you just aren't aware, but that's actually what we're doing right now. We take the buyback funds and use half of it to buy back Lifinity, and then pair that Lifinity with the other half of the buyback funds, which is USDC, and add that as liquidity to our pool on Meteora. So yeah, that's what we're currently doing. All right, next question is from Hibu. They ask, any other chain we plan to deploy other than Eclipse? Right now, there are no other plans, but other chains definitely have reached out. Chains that are earlier in their life cycle. So, like, there definitely is a possibility. Some of them are not SVM chains, and so those would require a lot more effort on our side because we would have to rewrite our code from scratch. Probably for EVM. Yeah, which is a non-trivial task. So, yeah, nothing sure on that side, but it is something we are considering. But yeah, I mean, focused on Eclipse for now. Next question. Are you working on something else we don't know about? Maybe. But if we were, just as was the case with Sandglass, everything will be announced at the appropriate time when it's ready to be announced. So if we are working on something, like now is not yet the time to be talking about it. Next question. Why not, why not doing ourselves a restaking protocol where we can use Sandglass to farm it? So I think you're asking, why don't we integrate with a restaking protocol? And we've actually talked to two restaking protocols, and both have said that they're interested in integrating us. Actually, one of them reached out to us to integrate Sandglass. and I think that will begin to move forward once we're audited. And regarding the audit status of Sandglass, we are building out a few more things before we get audited, because we want these other things we're building out to also get audited. It's really tricky because every time we add something new to Sandglass, if we've had a audit in the past, that means that new thing is not audited. And depending on how it interacts with the previous parts that were audited, it can also mean that the previous audits for the previous parts are now invalid, because it introduces like new attack vectors. But again, like that depends on how the older things interact with the new things. So there's a possibility that like audits will need to be ongoing, and we get additional audits when we add additional components. But yeah, so right now we're targeting our initial audit, which will be like the largest one, because it'll be for like all the components we've built so far. We're targeting that to be in August. And so yeah, once we get audited, we can start bringing back the discussions with the restaking protocols about integrating with them. And yeah, integrating with them would be great. Basically, for those who don't know what that would mean, basically, the restaking protocols would use our Sandglass tokens, so PT, YT, and LP tokens, as collateral. So normally, they just accept staked SOL assets like MSOL, JUTOSOL, BSOL, etc. But if they integrate with us, they can also use our tokens, and that's great for both them and us, because it creates more utility for our tokens. And for them, like it, because it means they'll have a wider selection of assets that users can use. Users are more likely to use their protocol. So users won't have to choose between, like if they have MSOL, for example, they won't have to choose between depositing their MSOL in the restaking protocol or depositing or using MSOL in Sandglass to get PTYT or LP. And instead, they can do both. They can deposit MSOL in Sandglass for PTYT or LP, and then use that token in the restaking protocol. So yeah, that's the power of integration. All right. J Gills with the assist. It is Helios, lol. Okay. What was I thinking of? There's like a third similar one.
Helix, maybe.
Helix is the payments one, I guess. Anyways, yeah, glad I got that right. All right, well, that's
all the questions
in the Discord. If you have any questions, you can also post them in on Twitter in reply to the community AMA. Maybe I'll just wait around a little bit longer, see if people have any more questions. Jay Gills, wait, did you answer my question? Let's see. Oh yeah, you typed it much earlier, so I kind of forgot about it. So let me get to that right now. Actually, let me take a sip real quick. All right, Jay Gills asks, what do you think the impact of Fire Dancer will be on how Lifinity is currently run? What about regarding the introduction of new competitors? Before I start answering, when you say competitors, you mean like Lifinity competitors, like Dex competitors, or? So Fire Dancer basically will make Solana faster. So block times should come down a bit. And then also there can be more transactions. Let's see. So I think the main thing is like the faster block times are, the more granular arbitrage becomes possible. And that is definitely good for us. Yeah, I mean, the relationship is pretty straightforward. Like, if there's more arbitrage transactions, that just translates to more volume for us, and more volume is more revenue. So I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't really see anything negative. I mean, because like the whole reason we started on Solana anyways is because it's cheap and fast. And that's what makes our model especially work well. And so Fire Dancer just magnifies that effect. So it's basically great for us. So yeah, really looking forward to it. All right, so you say, market making competitors. So Lifinity competitors. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not sure if this is in relation to Fire Dancer. I don't think, you know, just because Fire Dancer arrives, that'll mean new dexes will pop up precisely because of Fire Dancer. But anyways, maybe you didn't mean it that way anyways. So yeah, new competitors. Whether a new competitor is good or not, I think depends on the type of competitor. So like we have two major, or maybe I could say three types of major types of competitors, categories of competitors. So one is DEXs that are similar to us in that they use an oracle. These are probably the worst competitors to have. just because they work similarly to us and therefore compete for the same type of volume and transactions. The only one that I can think of on Solana other than us is GooseFX. And I'm not sure what happened to them, but like their volumes are really low right now. They were high for a while, but I think they were over concentrating their liquidity and it was resulting in impermanent loss or something. And so they stopped concentrating so hard. So for now anyways, there's like no competition in that category. Excuse me. Struggling here. All right, so the next type of category is order books. Now, order books are pretty similar to us, so they're still like fairly tough competition, I would say. They don't use oracles directly, but each market maker is probably looking at centralized exchange data. And, you know, that's essentially using an oracle, like it's fairly similar. And so, like, we're competing for similar types of traders. So that's the like that's our main competition, I would say. But I think additional order books really won't make a difference. Like there's already Phoenix and order open book. So like yeah, it's not really going to make a difference to us, even if another order book protocol pops up. And then the third category is concentrated liquidity market makers. So this is like Orca, Radium, and Meteor. I think these types of protocols are generally positive, net positive for us. So if a new one pops up, that's probably going to be good for us. And the reason for that is, well, we do compete with them a little bit for retail volume. The other half of the equation is that they provide liquidity against which we can perform arbitrage trades. Well, just to clarify, we're not performing the arbitrage trades. Arbitragers can use their liquidity to arbitrage against our pools, so that increases our volume. And basically, like our arbitrage volume is capped relative to how much liquidity there is on other DEXs, concentrated liquidity market makers, that is. So, like the more Sol USDC liquidity there is on Radium and Orca and Meteor, the better it is for us. And the thing is, like, even if their liquidity, Sol USDC liquidity, for example, increases by a lot, that'll mean they can capture more retail volume, right? But that's not really an issue for us because then we can just increase our liquidity to match that and capture, whatever optimal amount of retail liquidity we want while also increasing our arbitrage trades with them. And so, like, in a sense, we can't really be out competed because we can just increase our liquidity or increase concentration to match them. So the more the better for us with respect to concentrated liquidity market makers. Yeah. Hope that answers that question. Oh yeah, and the other thing about concentrated liquidity market makers is that they often do liquidity mining incentives. And so like suppose there is just one concentrated liquidity market maker and then another one pops up. Now you might think that like the total Sol USDC liquidity won't change. Maybe like half of that liquidity from the first exchange goes to the new exchange, and then the total amount doesn't change. But I think in reality it does change because they do liquidity mining incentives. So net new liquidity will come in trying to capture that. So there's in total there's more liquidity, not just liquidity moving around from one DEX to another. So yeah, I think it's good for us. All right, let me take a sip. Right. Next question we have from Kalon. Is it possible that the Solana ZK updates will open up any opportunities being cheap enough to change to a pool model for Oracles or have any other changes? Yeah, the pool model, I think, it is already viable, especially for protocols that aren't us, but for us as well. It's just a matter of us rewriting our smart contracts to accommodate them, which we're working on. I don't think. As far as I understand, we don't really need ZK for it for that, or I don't see how ZK would help with it. ZK, as far as I understand, there's like two potential benefits. One is compression, like it makes things smaller. And then the other is that you can prove things without having to reveal the data. And like, I don't think either of those are really relevant to pool oracles. Like, an oracle update is just a price update. So it's like the data is already very, very small. And And then there's no need for us to hide information from anyone. Like the whole point of an oracle is to like, I probably shouldn't say the whole point, but yeah, like with respect to like price oracles, like no one is trying to hide anything from anyone. It's like public information, and that's fine. So yeah, I'm not sure ZK is relevant for that. yeah, okay. Let's see. Oh, someone is telling Kaylon to check their DMs. Wow. The scams never stop, do they? Even during our AMAs, scammers are
alive and well.
Let's see. All right, cool. Well, once again, out of questions, anyone got any more questions? You can post it in our AMA questions channel in our Discord, or you can also comment on the Twitter link for our AMA. Man, I've been sick for a while. This I think there's like a summer flu going around that I got. Oh, see somebody typing. All right. Janssen asks, besides speed, what are some bullish factors about Eclipse that made Lufinity choose it for expansion? Yeah, so the main thing is that it uses the SVM. And that's good for two reasons. One is that it makes it easy for us to deploy because we don't have to rewrite our code. And there's also Pith on Eclipse. And then the other thing is that SVM is just performant. And so Eclipse is a fast, cheap chain, or it should be. As I kind of explained earlier, like that's always been important to us. And that's like the main reason we started off on Solana. So yeah, those are the main things that make Eclipse an awesome choice for us. And then also, like, it has Ethereum's liquidity, or it has that connection as well. So hopefully there will be, like, a lot of liquidity on it over time. Which, again, like as I explained earlier, like that'll be great because the more liquidity there is, the more arbitrage we can do.
The more volume we'll have and the more revenue we'll be able to generate.
I think I might call it after this next question. My throat is kind of killing me. All right, Janssen follows up. A more personal question, is there any airdrop farming campaign going on with Eclipse right now that the community can take advantage of? Not that I know of. I mean, it's not even live yet, so yeah, probably not until it's live, but you know, I would be not at all surprised if such opportunities do arise. Yeah, so keep your eyes out, I guess. If I ever learn of any I'll let you guys know in the big brain alpha. But yeah, nothing for now at least.
All right, cool. Well, thanks everyone for joining
at this unusual hour for our AMAs. Final one. Do they have a Discord or Telegram? I believe so. You can find the links from their Twitter account. It's probably the safest way to get the right links. Yeah. All right, cool. I know this was an unusual time for AMAs, but regardless, appreciate everyone joining. And hope I was my voice was legible and you can hear me fine. All right, cool. Have a good day, everyone. Peace out.